Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
As at the end of the first segment, suddenly this is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections, WIPR, 91.3 FM. I also put it, you know, in terms of the value of each respect for each, you know, vocation and each business and all. And I was thinking, you know, that in Rotary, and I want a couple of things I want to mention about Rotary now, and besides the next presentation by Lily Garcia Catala on mindful living and mindful death, but the importance of admiring and respecting all vocations and professions is one of the critical what we call the objects of Rotary. And quoting, it says, "The recognition of the worthiness of all useful occupations and the dignifying of each Rotarian's occupation as an opportunity to serve society." That's one of the list of the objects of Rotary. And then the Rotarian Code of Conduct, number 2, says, "Deal fairly with others and treat them and their occupations with respect." And so you know what happened there in the funeral and what we were talking about the importance of the mindfulness and all, and you just think about, you know, occupations and professions and that all of them and everyone is important regardless of where they're coming from and what businesses and occupations they're in, they've got to be respected and loved and cared for. In terms of Rotary, in terms of development, I've talked a number of times about the Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz that addresses violence in all of its manifestations, emotional, physical, you know, psychological, and also at all levels, whether it's the mother not caring for the child and the fetus to the vulnerable adult and you know we've had the credible case of these neighbors fighting for years and finally shooting at each other and one of them killing the other it's been a subject of tremendous discussion. You know, have a feeling that he should have been held guilty. But there's no doubt that given the criminal system and the values we have under the criminal system, where it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, the discussions you have either, you know, a panel of 4 people or in a Jorge Luis Rodriguez in Facebook put together what we consider a rhetorical question and the tons of people talking, reporting and posting completely different opinions. So I just said I agree with Jorge Luis's rhetorical question that I would have found the person guilty and not that it wasn't self-defense by the nurse who went around and to the other home. I think he could have avoided that. But the fact and the clear situation is that, you know, if there wouldn't have been a jury, there definitely wouldn't have been a unanimous decision on the guilty conviction. So it is what it is, and probably what's going to happen is a civil case, as what happened with O.J. Simpson, where it was because of, you know, not having a reasonable cause, he was acquitted. I remember the glove, if it doesn't fit, you got to quit. And I'll never forget that statement. But then he was civilly sued, and I think it was $39 million for wrongful death. So this nurse is not only got to be subject, I think, to the civil lawsuit, and there's the preponderance of the evidence So the chances are much higher that he's going to be found responsible and negligent. Within his life from now on, it's going to be, I think, relatively miserable. It's just one of those things where, prison doesn't really resolve issues. There's got to be a better way to handle situations that like this. But anyway, we're talking about violence, and this happened to be violence among neighbors, but against minors is a big topic now. All the minors that are left will either they're mistreated and all, and of course domestic violence and gender violence and whether mass terror, it's all over. So we have this Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz, and we put together in San Juan Rivera, and was adopted at the district level, a contest, a video contest, 60-second video on managing anger, manejando el coraje. And we had four videos. I haven't seen them yet, but we had a great a jury of judges, and they had a tough time with four. They were very, very good videos, and we will be developing a ceremony in order to declare, the winner and have the nice explanation from the judges as how they did their decision making, and from the students as they put together. These are 14 to 18 year old students on their own, and up to four if they wanted to get together to put together this video that we hope will be disseminated and hopefully produce some results. We all have to do our bit to see how we can reduce violence. We have in this Proyecto Rotario Pro Paz, the theme is resolvamos diferencias sin violencias, resolve our differences without violence, the combination of the flow of the world, getting the meaningful life, and we have to address this particular topic that unfortunately is at the forefront of our society, and, both at the individual, at the community, at the national, and at the international level. It's a tough one. So now let's move the flow from these important, values of day-to-day and mindfulness and all. Let's move it to the sporting world, and that quite a few interesting things have been happening there. One thing that was, three people wrote me that I had to watch this new documentary in Netflix called Miracle, the Boys of the 80s. And it's that famous Olympic team that beat the Russians in the 80 Olympics in Lake Placid, a complete surprise. And they said, you have to see, as a nice hockey player, you have to see this documentary. And it is fantastic. Really recommend it. It basically it's 45 years since that particular game, and it brings a number of the players from that team. Some of them, like the goalie, was second string and didn't play, but was just as important. And brings them together to reminisce, to reflect on that experience, and so there's different levels. There's the level of each one of those, not each one of them, but a number of them in terms of their life before the hockey play and then subsequent. And there's the, and so that's an interesting story, very heartwarming. You have the story of the coach Herb Brooks, who was a real tough taskmaster as a coach, extremely effective. He had been the coach and done really well in Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, the ice hockey team. And he put together this team and worked they worked them really, really, really hard, both physically and mentally, and produce gelled them to a great extent. He was the person they kind of hated, and they wanted to show him that they could do it. And so there's that whole story of the importance of a coach and the different techniques that a coach has to be successful. And by coincidence, the best coach I had in all my life was my ice hockey coach at Andover, Fred Ted Harrison, was a master of keeping us motivated and more importantly working as a team and doing things right. The story I love is we were at one time we played the college freshmen from at Andover, and we were beating Dartmouth easily and really cocky. We got into between periods and between the first and the second period, and we were thinking, you know, he was going to be congratulating us, and you know, there was this, hold on, he'd say, stop, and we all, because we're all laughing, and he says, "You guys are playing like shit." Pardon the thing, and then he said, "You know, you're not playing like a team. You're individually out there." I says, "I don't care what the score is. I don't care what we play, but we have to play, you know, as a team, and you have to play the game as it has to be played." And you know, and about a few weeks, few weeks later, we were playing. Three weeks, but we were playing the Boston College, and it was completely different. They were so much better than us, and we were getting beat. And I think it was like 3-0 after the first period, and we went out with our heads down. You know, this looked like a game that we're going to probably lose. You know, 7-9, which in hockey is a disaster. You know, he said, "Hold on," he says, "Listen, you guys, you're playing really well. You're playing your heart out. You're working as a team. You know, keep it up. I don't have anything to recommend just because you're doing what you have to do, and just keep at it. We're gonna scare these guys. Yeah, keep at it. We're gonna scare these guys." We ended up losing 4-3, as I recall, and you know, and we did scare them. but a coach can be so critical, and in our life, we're all coaches. You know, whether we're parents or grandparents or teachers or in your businesses, we are always mentoring other people and helping other people make decisions, not telling them what you would do if you were them, but making decisions. And this miracle, the Boys of '80s, this documentary is really good in terms of the coach. The other part that I'm reflecting is the development of the equipment. You know, this was the '80s, so this was about 15, 16 years, you know, after my I was in the 60s, so this is the 80. So, but still, they didn't have masks. The hockey players didn't have masks. The goalie had a fiberglass thing in front, but, you know, nothing like they have today. The helmets were flimsy, a little bit better than what I had, but flimsy. So, you know, you sort of look back at us playing without any mask, a sport like that with the sticks and the puck flying all over the place and running into the boards, et cetera. So that was a reflection I got a kick out of. And then, of course, it was in Lake Placid. And as I mentioned, I grew up in Saranac Lake, 6 miles away. And so the pictures and the videos of the scenes in Lake Placid and of that particular arena that I had played on in Pee Wee hockey was really nostalgic. But regardless, you know, a lot of you are not going to have this kind of reflection and fun. But the political at that moment with the Russian that was basically a professional team playing against with that time, at that time, the Olympics was amateur, and these were, you know, young boys. They were, you know, college kids, and they were playing against these guys of 28, 30, 34 years old. My take on it is that the Russian team had beaten the American team some 10 days before, like 9 or 10 to nothing. They just ran all over them. And so it was a situation where the Russian team was super cocky. And they just felt it was just a question of time. But the time never came. And I think, from the second half, there's three periods, but the half of the second period on, the Russian team couldn't quite understand that they were finally losing to someone. And I think my feeling was that, of course, the U.S. team got in, again, the flow. And in one of the podcasts they mentioned, the one on Flow World mentioned that hockey game by coincidence. They were in the flow. And I think the Russian team had, because they were so good and they beat people so easily, they weren't in that great a shape sustaining continuously the speed of what was required, and Herb Brooks put this team in such incredible shape that I think that was the big difference. So take that, get that documentary. You're gonna love it. It's I'm prejudiced, of course, with respect to ice hockey as a great sport, but it's the political situation, the changes that have taken place. I've remarked and reflected on things right now where basically even college kids are professionals, get paid, and they make decisions as professionals. I think the aura of the amateur sport, we have lost a lot. And even in the professionals, I sometimes feel, we're trying to put this baseball team together for Puerto Rico, and 3-4 fantastic professionals, Puerto Rican professional baseball players, because they couldn't get the insurance, or the team didn't allow them, or they decided they didn't want to take any risks in playing. We're gonna be without 3, 4, 5 of our best professional who avowed that they wanted to play. So sports have changed, and when you go back to that era, and it's kind of refreshing to see it. Moving on to the NFL, the Super Bowl was this past weekend, and my team, the Patriots, lost. They got really beaten. They were not in the flow. And Seattle, especially the defensive, was in the flow. And you could see it. You could see it all over. You could see the quarterback wasn't the Patriots quarterback wasn't clicking. You could see that the ends weren't. Nothing was clicking, it kind of deteriorates if you don't get in the flow. It deteriorates, and that's what happened there. I think if another game was played, it could be complete reversal. But on that particular day, it was a disaster. And of course, we had the Bad Bunny and all the controversy. But it was a fantastic show. My wife, who disliked Bad Bunny incredibly, was paying attention to when the halftime would come, and I told her it's going to come, and she came for the halftime and loved it. So if my wife loved it, it had to be pretty good, because she came from a past that was really anti Bad Bunny. I'm going to finish the second segment. The NFL Super Bowl, there's three parts of it. Some people just watch the ads. I know people who fast forward the game. They tape it. They fast forward the game just to see the ads, because they are so incredibly creative. With the kind of money they have to pay for 30 seconds is outstanding. there's people who watch the game. I think put me in there carefully, and then there's people just the halftime. And I do the three. Although in Puerto Rico we have the disadvantage that we have the local. I mean, they put the good money in the advertising is pretty good, but you miss that the U.S. advertising that portion, at least in Puerto Rico. So we got the NFL. We're going to then go into the Olympics when we come back. Again, the flow, this is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.